Welcome to this episode of the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. The mission of the Greenville Oaks Church is to inspire people to follow Jesus, because we're convinced that following Jesus is the best way of life possible. Find out more about Greenville Oaks at greenvilleoaks.org and connect with us on social media. We would love it if you could rate and review our podcast. It makes it easier for others to find us. And now, on to this week's message with Lead Minister Wade Hodges.
Hello, everyone. It's good to see all of you here today. Also, welcome to those who are watching and listening online. If you would please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 21. The resurrected Jesus makes his final appearance in the Gospel of John in this chapter. It forms a kind of epilogue or coda to the Gospel. And it tells a delightful and insightful story, one that is rich in detail and symbolism, which we've come to expect from John. But it also, at least for me, packs an emotional punch. So let's begin reading John chapter 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Unsure of what to do next, in between Jesus' resurrection appearances, Peter returns to what he knows and does best. Let's go fishing. But as can often happen, even to the best and most experienced of fishermen, he and his companions fish all night and catch nothing. And yes, this is reminiscent of another story in the Gospels, not in John, but in Luke 5, where they fish and can't catch anything. We keep reading. It says, early in the morning then, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And those who know Jesus best continue to have trouble recognizing the risen Jesus, which raises all sorts of puzzling questions for which I have no good answers. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat and you will find some." Now, you would think at this point some bells would be going off for the disciples. "Okay, we'll do it." It's vaguely familiar. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As it did with Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb, it takes a second word or action from Jesus to help his friends finally recognize him. But when they do, as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, or a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." The Good Shepherd has appeared again to feed his sheep. And it's not an accident or a coincidence that John mentions a charcoal fire in this story. He mentioned one earlier in his gospel in chapter 18. In that setting, it was in the courtyard of the high priest when Peter denied Jesus three times while warming himself by a charcoal fire. I'm sure the irrepressible and unforgettable smell of a charcoal fire. And smells do have a way of unlocking vivid memories, don't they? The smell of that charcoal fire must have reminded Peter of his embarrassing failure on the night Jesus was arrested. And Jesus and Peter have some unfinished business. So after breakfast, they go for a walk together on the shore or the beach of the Sea of Galilee. And we know they're walking from something that happens later on in the story. I'll let you find that on your own. For now, just trust me, they're walking on the beach. And as they're walking, Jesus asks Peter three questions. And actually, he asks him one question three times. The first one comes in verse 15. Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, what Jesus means by these is not entirely clear. It could be the other disciples. Do you love me more than these other disciples? Seems like an odd question, but remember, back in John 13, Peter actually boasted of his superior faithfulness over the other disciples and pledged to lay down his life with Jesus. Do you love me more than these other disciples? Or maybe these refers to the fish, 153 to be exact, that Peter just caught, or his boat and his fishing gear. Does Peter love Jesus more than his old way of life as a fisherman? Whichever one it is, and it really is up for grabs, nobody knows for sure. Jesus' question gives Peter the opportunity to give a different response than the last time he was asked about his relationship with Jesus while standing near a charcoal fire. Peter doesn't need any extra time to think. His immediate answer is, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you," while maybe thinking, "Didn't you see me pull a Forrest Gump and jump straight into the water and swim to shore? I wanted to be there first. Of course I love you." And Jesus says, "Well, then feed my lambs." And then a second time in verse 16, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Then take care of my sheep." And then a third time, verse 17, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And this time, Peter feels the pain. Three questions about how Peter loves him, one for each denial. And again, when Peter affirms his love for Jesus, Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep." Now, we might expect Jesus to speak words of forgiveness to Peter, but instead, he gives him a job to do. He calls him on a mission. He calls the fisherman Peter to become a shepherd of God's sheep, a shepherd of God's flock. Jesus is still the good shepherd, the great shepherd, who's feeding and taking care of his sheep, but he intends to do it through his disciples, including Peter, who's denied him three times. And I used to think that Jesus making Peter repeat his answer was a way of raking him over the coals, pun intended. But now I see it as just the opposite. Jesus isn't punishing Peter. He's putting him back together. He's not forcing him to relive his denials to make him squirm. He's giving him the opportunity to relinquish them, reverse them even. He's working on Peter's heart because he still has some work for Peter to do. Just as he did with Mary Magdalene in her grief and Thomas in his doubt, Jesus does for the wounded, hurting Peter. He heals his heart with a personalized encounter that gives Peter exactly what he needs in that moment. Few of you know the story of how my family and I, 14 years ago, moved to Austin to start a new church. And 18 months into the project, we shut it down because it simply wasn't working out. And that was a very hard time for me. I was overwhelmed with a sense of embarrassment and shame. It was not a private failure. It was a very public failure. And the story I was telling myself at the time was not, okay, look, you failed to do something that's very hard to do. The odds were against you. Many other people have tried and they've failed as well. Really, really hard to start a new church from scratch. That's not the story I was telling myself. The story I was telling myself at the time is, I am a useless failure. And I don't know what I'm going to do next. At the time, I was pretty sure I would never preach again. I would never work with another church again. And as a failed church planter, one of the hardest things for me was going to church with my family. And one Sunday, I was dreading in particular going to a church across town where I knew I would see familiar faces who would ask me painful questions about what had happened to the church plant. So we intentionally arrived a few minutes late and sat on the back row. And we slipped out early during the final song. Heather went to go get the boys out of children's church, and I headed for the exit, planning to meet them at the car. And as I walked across the church lobby, I had my head down, hoping no one would stop me or speak to me. And when I was almost to the door, I heard someone shout, "Hey, Wade!" Oh. And I looked up and saw Sydney, a 13-year-old family friend with Down syndrome. And Sydney's a hugger. Her hugs are big and strong and always last a second too long. Now, I'm not much of a hugger, so I think all hugs last a second too long. So hers probably last 2 seconds too long. And Sydney saw me, called out my name. She ran across that church lobby and gave me one of her signature hugs, just like she always did when she saw me. But this was different than the typical Sydney greeting. Because as I saw her coming toward me, I sensed the Lord saying to me, "This is how I feel about you." And then God used Sydney to squeeze some of the shame and embarrassment out of me. And as the Lord did for Mary and Thomas and Peter, he gave me exactly what I needed that day. I began to feel a little better about myself, and I felt more comfortable in church. which was a good thing because, as it turned out, the Lord still had some preaching for me to do. When I look back on it now, I see that encounter with Sydney as my walk on the beach with the risen Lord, where he began to put me back together. And if you are overwhelmed with a sense of embarrassment or shame because of your most recent failure, or if you're not sure Jesus still considers you to be one of his sheep, you're not sure that God still loves you or can still use you, or maybe you're just aimless, stuck, not sure what to do next with your life, perhaps you will hear in this story today an invitation from Jesus. An invitation to come and eat. Come and have some breakfast. Come and have brunch. Come and have lunch. Just come and eat. And then after the meal, don't be surprised if the Lord invites you to go for a walk on the beach. Maybe he'll ask you a few questions. Maybe he'll give you some instructions, or maybe he'll just give you a big, strong, long hug. Maybe he'll do all three. And he may do it through someone else you know, someone who catches you just as you're about to walk out the door. Well, whatever happens, rest assured that it will be exactly what you need to begin healing your heart and to lift your head and to get you back on track and on mission. Because no matter what you've done to disappoint or deny the Lord, no matter what you've done to make yourself feel like a useless failure, the risen Lord is not done with you yet. Don't give up on following Jesus, no matter what, because he's never going to give up on you. And he will keep working on your heart, because he still has work for you to do. Peter's work as a shepherd of God's flock ultimately led him to make good on his vow to lay down his life for Jesus. In this conversation, Jesus tells him in verse 18, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." According to church tradition, Peter was crucified in Rome during Nero's persecution of the Christians in the mid-60s. And he reportedly asked to be crucified upside down because he did not believe he was worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. It's quite a difference for someone who denied the Lord three times by a charcoal fire. And it was Peter's walk with Jesus on the beach that helped empower him to follow Jesus all the way to a cross, where he glorified God. May your walk on the beach with the risen Lord begin to heal your heart and give you the purpose and the power and the passion to follow the Lord wherever he leads. Please stand for the benediction. Please allow me to read this benediction over you. It comes from Hebrews 13. "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. May the God of peace equip you with everything you need for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you so much for listening to the message from the Greenville Oaks Message Broadcast. We hope this message enriched your life and can help you inspire others to follow Jesus, because we honestly believe following him is the best way of life possible. Be sure to connect with us online on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.